This morning's scripture comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning with the 36th verse. Jesus said, a person asked Jesus, "Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, this morning may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Again, as we look to Scripture for the way that we want to respond to all the ways that we live our life, we remember that we are created body, mind, and spirit. And that when we invite Jesus to be Lord of our life, we invite him to be a part of each of those parts of our lives. We come to him as a whole person. There's a question that we ask on the Board of Ordained Ministry for those pastors-to-be that come before us for either commissioning or ordination. And that question, one of the questions, we ask a lot of them, but one of the questions is, what does it mean to you to say Jesus Christ is Lord? And we expect from them a pretty full explanation, not only of personally what it means to claim Jesus as Lord, but in a more cosmic sense as well. What does it mean to the world that Jesus Christ is Lord? But I want you to ponder that same question this morning, particularly as we look at this issue of our use of social media. What does it mean for you to say Jesus is Lord? You know, Jesus did not come to make fans. At the last service, I saw lots of folks in their Texan gear and a few in their Astros gear, and it's fun to be a fan. But really, even as excited of a fan as you might be, that doesn't really have an effect on the rest of your life in general. Jesus didn't come to make fans. He came to make followers. And when we consider him as our Lord, we think about how we follow him with our whole life, that he gets our greatest loyalty, and we give him permission to be in every single part of our life. We know that when Jesus walked on this earth, he taught the people in the language of the day. He used illustrations that the people of the day would understand. He spoke to crowds. He spoke to small groups. He spoke intimately with one or two people. But he always spoke in ways that they would understand. And that brought to me the wonder, how would, if Jesus was walking on the earth with us today in the flesh, how would he communicate this timeless message? Because the gospel message is an unchanging message, but I really believe that Jesus might change the way he speaks to us in today's world. And so I'm going to ask that you indulge me a little bit this morning in a fun, but in a church-wise fun, so you won't have too much fun. You know, I know that you can't have too much fun in church. But what Jesus might say to us about social media through the use of his own social media, thus the title, WWJT, what would Jesus tweet? And as I go through this, I invite you to think about which of these possible messages from Jesus, these tweets, if you will, speak most directly to you. What do you need to hear this morning, especially as you consider social media as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Earlier, I read the scripture from Matthew chapter 22, and so it's sort of encapsulated here. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Hashtag, keep it in order. Hashtag, rule of life. Hashtag, great commandment. As we continue in the Gospel of Matthew, I've got two different versions. As we think about the way that we use our words, in the NRSV, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles. The Message translation says it a little more graphically, perhaps. He then called the crowd together and said, "Listen and take this to heart. It's not what you swallow that pollutes you, but what you vomit up." Hashtag words matter. Hashtag stop vomiting words. We continue in Matthew's gospel as we think about our tendency to judge others so much more strictly than we judge ourselves. And again, I'll give you two different versions. So the NRSV, do not judge so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, let me take the speck out of your eye while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye. Once again, the Message translation puts it a little more common English-wise. Don't pick on people, jump on their failures, criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you, when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again, playing a holier-than-thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face, and you might be fit to offer a washcloth to your neighbor. Hashtag judging boomerang. Hashtag holier than thou doesn't work. We also look to the gospel in the gospel of Luke chapter 12 on when we think about those words that we use on social media that, oh, just a few people are going to see them, or we send them on Snapchat and think we can immediately, they're going to go away. We remember that Jesus said, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered behind closed doors will be proclaimed from the housetops. Hashtag words always come back. I thought as well about our responsibility as adults to be a witness to those who are younger than we are. And we think about Jesus' words, if anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them to have a large millstone hung around their neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Hashtag little eyes are watching you. Hashtag what do they see? I also began to think that Jesus might just retweet some of the Proverbs. Those were part of his scriptures as well. And so I thought I would give you a couple of Proverbs. One who spares words is knowledgeable. One who is cool in spirit has understanding. Even fools who keep silent are considered wise. When they close their lips, they are deemed intelligent. Hashtag better to be thought a fool. Hashtag than speak and remove all doubt. Another from Proverbs chapter 12. Rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Hashtag stop stabbing others. Hashtag choose healing. Then there are those words from Jesus' brother James in his letter in the Bible on the power of speech. He has a couple of things to say about that. One, how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and curses. My sisters and brothers, this ought not be so. Hashtag, it's about consistency. Hashtag, tame the tongue. And then from James, just straight up here, if any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Hashtag, cut to the chase. Hashtag, real religion. And then we'll go back one more time to Matthew's gospel. When I think about today's polarized society in which you either agree with me or, you know what, I am just going to declare you an enemy and therefore I can say anything that I want. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Hashtag, this Christ following is hard. Hashtag, choose love for all. Hashtag, prayer changes the one praying. For us as Wesleyan Christians, as we follow John Wesley and his rules for the Methodist societies, I thought I would just throw that in. Hashtag do no harm, hashtag do good, hashtag stay in love with God. And then finally, a reminder for all of us, this is a quote that Pastor Joshua found and sent on to me. The words are going to be kind of recognizable, and this author, Meredith Gould, has changed them up just a bit, but I think you'll find it really familiar. Christ has no online presence but yours. No blog, no Facebook page but yours. Yours are the tweets through which love touches the world. Yours are the posts through which hope is revealed. Christ has no online presence but yours. No blog, no Facebook page but yours. Friends, technology, social media can be such a great tool in communication. And as disciples of Jesus Christ, living now in the digital age, professing that Jesus is Lord over our lives, may we always remember to use it as a tool and never, ever as a weapon. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, Lord, we admit to you that there are parts of ourselves that we think that we can keep hidden from others and even from you. But that's not our desire. God, our desire is to allow you access to every part of ourselves. And we give that to you. Help us, oh God, to claim Jesus is Lord over every part of our lives. And help us, oh God, to be guided even in our use of social media. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.